How many books did John write? All right. How many think five? All right. You're right if you say five. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he wrote the book of the Revelation. So John wrote five books of the Bible. And what do all of those five books have in common? That's right. They all want to present to us the glories of Jesus Christ. We had the whole book of the Revelation that we studied for months, even years. And what was that whole book? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So what does John want to remind us of? The word of life, Jesus Christ. In 1 John. And he continues to talk about Christ throughout all of his epistles. Well, when we come this morning to the book of John, if you'd all turn back to the Gospel of John chapter 1, years ago, I have a series of books that I've purchased over the years. They are fictional books, but Sue's grandfather got me interested in these books, and then Sue's mother was reading those, and a lot of times when we'd go on vacation and we'd be out at their home, they had a whole bookcase full of these books, and I would pick one off and begin to read it. Sometimes they would let me borrow it if I hadn't finished it, take it home with me and bring it back the next time. So then I started collecting these books myself. They were all written back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They are written by an author by the name of Joseph Lincoln. And he wrote about the Cape Cod, New England area. And I have all of the books that he ever wrote. It took me a long time to find them because you have to find them all used. One time, my friend John Fiedler, he was a detective. He found out I still needed two or three of the books, so boy, he took it on as a project to help me find those last two or three books. And I have found bought books for as little as six for a quarter, or I have paid up to $45 for one of these books, depending on how scarce it was and how much I wanted in my collection. But you know what I really enjoyed? As I would finish one book, and if it had a dust cover on it, guess what the book would invariably do? Give you a little prelude of another book that he had written. And so he would try to get your interest by having this little prelude of about one of his other books, and you could read that and say, oh boy, I better get that one too, you know, and read it. And today, films and movies on television, they usually have times when they will have, what do they call it when they want you to be introduced to another film that they're going to show later? A trailer. You know, we have these trailers all the time now, which are really just introductions to another movie and a prelude or a introduction to another book or something. Well, do you know what the first 18 verses of John are? This Gospel of John, you know what they are? They're the trailer. They're the introduction. They're the prelude to this whole book. And so as we look at these first 18 verses, you know, there are some, I have all kinds of passages in the Bible that I really, really enjoy. Enjoy the whole Bible, but, you know, like everybody, there are certain passages that you enjoy perhaps more than others. I love the book of John, and I love the first 18 verses of the book of John as he gives us such a glorious picture here. And as we begin, I don't know if you want to call it begin the Christmas season here at our church. We officially have the wreaths up now, so I guess that begins the Christmas season here at the church. But as we begin the Christmas season, I want us to see how John unveils God's glory just here in the first 18 verses of this book. And I'll warn you ahead of time, I'm not sure I'm going to finish this all tonight or this morning, so I might do it yet tonight if we don't finish it this morning. I've done something that I haven't done for quite a while, is I have my whole outline up here on the PowerPoint program for you this morning. So if you're into taking notes, you will love me this morning. You know, you will love me because I have all my notes right up here in front of you this morning. And before we begin, let's just pray. Father, reveal to us today, as John does through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reveal to us the glory of God as we see Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh. And so we pray that we might rejoice in this unveiling, rejoice in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that we might see afresh and anew this one that you sent to be the Savior of the world. And so bless our time in your word for the next several moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you've been knowing me for a number of years now, and you know that one of the things I like, this is me, this helps me. I hope it helps you, but it helps me. I like to, when I'm preaching through a passage, I like to have some hooks to hang things on that helps me understand the passage and see the passage. And I especially enjoy it if they all start with the same letter. And so I've got some W's for you this morning, all right? And I trust that they will be obvious to us as we work our way through this passage this morning. But I want us to see in the first few verses of this passage the wealth or the worth, if you want to use the word worth, the wealth or the worth of the word. Now, before we even begin, who is this word? When it refers to word here, and it has a capital W, so we know that it's referring to a person, a place, or a thing, right? It's a proper pronoun, and so it's referring to a particular person or place or thing. And so in the beginning was the Word. Who is this Word? Well, we know that it's a when I just read for you a few moments ago in 1 John chapter 1, he used the same capital W in that verse, and it was the Word of Life. This Word is the Logos. Logos is the Greek word that means word, but it means the declaration of. So it's the word that's going to declare what for us? The glories of God. Jesus Christ is the living word. We have the written word. And so the written word has one purpose, to reveal God to us. And the living word has a purpose, to reveal God to us. And so we're going to look at this living word. Let's read verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So we already know that the Word is a Him. It's a person. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended Him not. We find in these first five opening verses how very wonderful, how very worthy, how very Wealthy is this one called the Word. And we see several things about him. Number one, he is unique in his person. He is so unique. Why is he so unique? What does it say here about him? He was with God and was God and in the beginning with God. Wow, that's pretty unique, isn't it? Can you, other than the Holy Spirit, name anyone, anything else that was in the beginning with God? That was God? We have several statements here about the uniqueness of this one called the Word. And his worthiness and his wealth. He is eternally God. In the beginning was the Word. That's talking about his eternality. He is equally God. And the Word was with God. You know, today we are always comparing things. And while we were away, we ate at a particular restaurant and had a wonderful, wonderful fish dinner. So we decided a couple nights later, we'd go back there and eat again. And we ordered the same thing. Only guess what? The second time, the fish somehow wasn't quite as good as the first time. And we were comparing. You know, when you compare God with the Word, guess what this passage is telling us? They are equal. They are equal. They are the same. And then, not only is he eternally God and equally God, he is essentially God. What does that mean? That means in his very nature, he's the same. The Word was God. He is eternally, equally, and essentially God. We talk about all the essentials. Well, in all the essentials, he is God. Everything God is, he is. And everything he is, God is. And so we are seeing God's glory revealed to us through this Word. But not only is he unique in person, he is universal in power. That's verse 3. What kind of power are we seeing here in verse 3? Creation. Over the last 12 or 13 weeks, we have been looking in our Sunday school hour at unveiling the mysteries of, unlocking the mysteries of Genesis. And we have been looking at creation and how is God, how is the Word, how is Christ universal in power? Here's how. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Just think and just ponder for a moment. Someone that powerful. That powerful. That can create all of this out of nothing. But this same worthy Word, Christ, is not only unique in his person and universal in his power, but he is also unparalleled in his provision. Unparalleled in his provision. What has he provided according to John 1, 4, and 5? What has he provided? Life. Life. Way back when he was that one who created all things, what did God do? He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so he is the source of life. He's the giver of life. He's the source of life. And so let me look around this morning. Thus far, everybody looks alive in the room here today. Everybody looks alive. And if you're breathing, you know why you're breathing? Because of the unparalleled provision of Jesus Christ. You're alive because he's the source of life. He is life. Later, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we know that this gets much broader than just physical life, doesn't it? We know, because we have studied God's word, that it also eventually pushes over into something even greater than physical life. It's talking about eternal life. And so he is life. What a wonderful, wonderful provision we find in Christ today. Physical life and eternal life. Pretty wealthy, isn't he? And what else does he provide according to these verses? Light. Now, what is light? How does that? Well, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That has to do with his provision of not just physical light, but of understanding and illumination and guiding us into, because he's the way, the truth, and the life, guiding us into truth. And he's the light of men. He's the one that guides us into life's answers. And of course, we have the provision going on here of light and darkness. And darkness later on, we see in the next couple of verses that darkness is a picture of man's walking in his sinful lifestyle. And light is the opposite of learning to walk in the ways of God. You know, I'm sure that the young people around here get tired of it, but I have little jokes that I do in school and so forth. And if I walk past a room and there's students in the room and the light is off, I usually reach in, turn the light on, and say, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so I just reach in and turn on the light and quote that verse to them. And I'm sure most of them are sick of it by now. But, you know, we have this picture of light and darkness. And what kind of provision has the Word given us? Light. Light. And so this morning, as we see the unveiling of God's glory here in this passage, it starts with the uniqueness, with the provision, the power, and the person of that one who is worthy this morning. But there's a second truth I want us to see in this passage this morning, and it's this truth. The witness of the word. The witness of the word. Who was the witness? John. It says in this passage, and there was a man sent from John, or from God, whose name was John. The same came for a, what's the word? Witness. To bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so, not only do we see the wealth of the word, we see the witness of the word. Now, this is where now this passage can really apply to you and I. Not that it doesn't in every way, but specifically now. Because what is our major task while we are still here in this world? We are to be witnesses. And so just like there was a witness to the word, we're to become those witnesses to the word. And this man's name was John. I want you to see the marks of a true witness. See the marks of a true witness here. If John was a witness and we're to be witnesses, what were the marks? Well, we find them here in this passage. First thing was that John recognized his own limitations. There was a what? Man. As a man or woman, do we have limitations today? Yes. You all know I love to sing, and I usually love to sing loud. I'm a loud singer. A lot of times when I'm in a choir, I have to try to tone it back a little bit because, you know, in a choir, you're not supposed to have just one voice sticking out, you know. But when I sing in the congregation, I just love to sing. You know what my limitations were? So did you notice this morning that a couple times I wasn't singing? I had to have a cough drop because of my throat. And singing just somehow for that 20 minutes or so before we start the preaching time, the singing makes my voice rough today. And so I had to stop singing. Why? I have limitations and my voice is giving me problems. I hate that, that I can't do what I want to do with my voice. But I have limitations. We all have limitations, don't we? We get tired. And we make mistakes and we sometimes aren't as clear. Or sometimes we have fear. We all have limitations. But aren't you glad that God uses us with our limitations? And John had his limitations. What were his limitations? He was human. He had human limitations. He was a creature. So he had what we call creatureliness. And I know that, please don't misunderstand when I say we're a creature, that I'm putting us in the same category as animals, but we are creatures. We are created beings from God. And we have to have some credentials. Matthew tells us about John's credentials. You remember in his birth and everything, and how God just planned from the very beginning to, and even said that since some of the Old Testament prophets, there's not arisen another one like unto John. So we have to be called and we have to obey that call. But not only do we see the mark of a witness as human limitation, we also see divine ordination. What does that next phrase say? A man who is what? Sent from God. You know, I don't know how many times when I sat in preacher boys classes in seminary, this was different than having homiletics and hermeneutics, and we had courses like polity and practice and Baptist polity, and we had all these preparation courses, but we had one course just called Preacher Boys. And we sat in a big auditorium, and there were probably a couple hundred of us guys sitting in there. And we would have the president of the college, we would have guest pastors who would come in, evangelists, and they just talked to us practically speaking. Just talked to us like you'd be talking to a friend over a cup of coffee. Just sharing their hearts with us. And I don't know how many of those men, including Dr. Cederholm, who said this, don't you dare go into the ministry unless God's called you. Don't you dare go into the ministry. We have too many mama called pastors today, or too many self-called pastors today. The truth is, don't stoop to be a king if God's called you to be a pastor. But don't become a pastor unless God's called you. And who sent this witness? God. God put his stamp on John. And God has sent all of us, maybe not to be a pastor, but to be a witness. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He has sent us. And again, in case we miss it, what is the word witness here? It's a word related to martyr, maturias. It's the same word for martyr. We are to be a witness even to the degree of sacrificing ourselves as a martyr. And so a human witness has limitations, but we need to have divine ordination. And there's a gracious implication. What is the implication here? That whose name was John. It's talking about the individual. Aren't you glad that God works in our lives individually? There is an implication that God can use us as individuals. There's a personal thought here that John was himself. Again, not to be too personal here, but when I was in college, there was a big name man who was around the area, not too far from our college, who had a church that was a huge church. And he was a very fiery and animated and effective preacher, very strong preacher. His name was Jack Hiles. Anybody ever heard Jack Hiles preach? I've heard Jack Hiles. Guess what 50% of the students that I was in college with wanted to be? Jack Hiles. But guess how many of them became Jack Hiles? You know why? Because God doesn't want all of us to be Jack Hiles. You know what he wants? He wants us to be us. And I'm so glad I learned a long time ago, not that you don't want to improve and get better, but I'm glad that God can use a Dean Walter too. I'm glad that I don't have to be Jack Hiles, that I can be. And there's that gracious implication that God can use you. And God can use me. And he can use us for his glory as witnesses. And we don't have to be somebody else. God gave each of us different gifts and talents and abilities and personalities and likes and dislikes. And he can use all of us. And that gracious implication that he used here, John. But we could put our name in there. And then, what's the primary obligation to witness? Says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. Now, I hope that all of us are serious about witnessing, but boy, what a wonderful built-in time to witness is Christmas. You know? I think my wife mentioned it on Wednesday night, but a couple of years ago when we went to a teacher's convention from the school, there was a booth from a mission agency and a man who was primarily interested in reaching Spanish-speaking people for Christ. And so he had a display table set up, and he had several different kinds of CDs and DVDs that were in the Spanish language that he wanted you to take and use in your witnessing efforts with the Spanish. And Sue had taken some, and we gave one to a neighbor one time that's right near us. In our closest neighbors for Sue and I are the folks that live right in front of us out here by the road, and that's a Muslim family. And Sue has really had opportunities, especially with the wife, to have her in our home, and she's been in that home, and we've given her the Gospel of John in Arabic, and we've given her gifts and things, and we've tried to build up a relationship with that family. And the other family are a new family that have moved in next to our dirt driveway, and they're a Hispanic family. In fact, the wife doesn't speak any English. I look out the back of the yard sometime, and if she's out, I wave to her, and we've met the husband, and they have two children, but a year or so ago, when they first moved in, Sue took over some dish, a pie or something, and she gave this a CD that was just in Spanish to this Spanish lady. And then on this vacation, we hadn't had anybody else Spanish to give them to. And so we took them with us in our suitcase when we went to Mexico. And while we were there, every day when our maid would make up the room, we would leave a tip for her along with one of these CDs or DVDs in Spanish. We're just going to pray that God uses it and whoever gets a hold of it and can watch it and see it. But what are we here for? To witness. To witness. That was why John came. And the humble characterization. What did he admit while he was witnessing? What did he say? I am not that light. He kept throwing all the attention on the true light and not on himself. So he was humble. He was humble. He said, I'm not that light. In fact, when they tried to perhaps give him more attention, he kept saying things like, he must increase, but I must decrease. And so this humble characterization, you know what a witness ought to be? Recognizing his own limitations, recognizing that he's been sent by God, recognizing that God can use us as individuals, recognizing our primary obligation is to witness, and the humble characteristics that we're not that light. It's not all about us, is it? It's all about Christ, all about the Word. And going back to the witness part, the primary obligation, we need to be passionate witnesses. We need to be precise witnesses. We need to be perhaps even a painful witness, because what does witness mean? Martyr, maturios. So it might even involve some pain. But you know what the goal is? To be a productive witness, because what does the last part of verse 7 say? That all mine through him might what? Believe. Believe. Why don't we do this, each of us as individuals, this Christmas? Why don't we ask God for one person over this Christmas season that we can specifically witness to and ask God to help them believe? Just one. A neighbor, a friend, a barber. I'm almost due for another haircut here, probably in past due for a haircut. I usually let my hair go past due before I get it cut. And my barber at least tells me that I should have come in a couple weeks earlier, you know, but I think he just wants my money. But anyway, I have really built up a rapport with my barber. He sets the stage for me so well when I'm in there. He asks me a question out loud in front of the whole group that's always a spiritual or biblical question. And man, I go to it. And everybody in the whole room listens. You know the old ad about the some investing firm, when they speak, everybody listens? That's what I feel like in the barbershop. When I speak, everybody's listening. Praise God. And this week I'm hoping to have that opportunity again. And I'm praying for my barber named Ron, that God will reach his heart. He has a brother-in-law who's a Baptist pastor. So I'm going to team up with that brother-in-law, and we're going after him, you know. But so let's ask God to give us those who will believe through our witness. Now, guess what? I'm not to verse 18 yet. I'm only to verse 9. Let me at least give you the next point, and then we probably have to come back to it. The welcome of the word. The welcome of the word. What is this next passage about in John 10? He came unto his own, and his own what? Was that welcome? No, that was the unwelcome part of it. But we have the wealth of the word, the witness of the word, the welcome of the word, and the last W that I will give you, but it's quite a few more slides down, is going to be the wonder of the word. But I'm going to save the welcome and the wonder for tonight when we have communion. But before I close this morning, let's just read those verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. It says, that was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the word. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I hope and pray with all my heart today that every one of us in this room have welcomed the word into our own hearts and lives. We have been those who received him, as verse 12 says, as many as received him. Again, we see the tragedy and a failing to welcome him. How tragic. A song that sort of became a favorite of mine years and years and years ago. It's not an easy song to sing, but it's a song that when I was in the madrigal and handbell choir at my college, it was a song that just the ladies sang in the choir. And they sang four or five parts to the song, but it was just beautiful. And I can't quote all the words, but part of the verse says, do you worship the babe in the manger, but reject the Christ of the cross? You know, there are all kinds of people who get all excited about a baby being born, and we should. But those same people that love to celebrate the birth don't want to have anything to do with the death. They love to celebrate the birth of a baby, but they don't like to acknowledge the death of a Savior. And we should be those who welcome him, not just as a baby, but as the Savior of the world. And as we do so, we will become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We'll come back to the rest of this message tonight. Let's pray. Lord, how wonderful to acknowledge the worth of the word. He's God. He's equal with God. He's essential with God. He is God. And as such, he's worthy. He's unique in his person. He is wonderful in his power, and he is that one who gives us all kinds of provision, life and light. And we're thankful for the example of John, who was the witness of the word. And Lord, help us to be challenged today to be more effective in our witness of the word. I do pray that each of us will have wonderful opportunities this Christmas season to give testimony of our faith in Christ and to point men and women to the true meaning of Christmas. And then, Lord, as we just kind of closed briefly, we pray that we might personally welcome the word into our lives and be filled with the wonder of the word as he reveals to us and unveils to us the glory of God. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder again this morning, let me just urge you as I, at the best I can, know how. If you have never received Jesus Christ, you do not have that full assurance in your heart that you're a child of God today, don't put that off. You have physical life, but you certainly do not have eternal life apart from Christ. And he came to give you eternal life. Won't you trust him today? And then, for those of us who know him, we have already acknowledged him. We have already welcomed him as the Savior. We have believed on him. We are now children of God. But we've been given that same task that John was given, to come to bear witness of that light. And I'm just again encouraging us and challenging us all. Let's pray as individuals. Let's ask God to lead us to someone today and this week and this month that we can witness to about Christ. Father, make it so in my life. Make it so in all of our lives today. Bless this your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.